Listener-driven, locally focused. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives. Join us next week when the regular host will be back with a few new episodes of original programming.
Welcome back to Ronnie's Resilient Reviews. A few weeks ago, Kendrick dropped a new album out of nowhere, and it was good. This is notably Kendrick's most straightforward album, with him on the very first track stating, "This is not for lyricists, I swear it's not the sentiments, F a double entendre, I want y'all to feel this." Many fans have had a bit of a different attitude toward this album than any of his past works. Some people say it's more of a mixtape, some say it's more of a victory lap from his legendary beef with Drake earlier this year. And some say it's him taking an opportunity to make some music that he could specifically perform at the Super Bowl. Some more conspiratorial fans have been speculating that he is going to drop another album very soon. Fans on Reddit were speculating the same thing all the way back when Damn dropped, with people on Reddit claiming that he would drop an album called Nation right after Damn. This time the evidence is that in the promotional material there are two GNX cars, and fan thinks this could be a hint for more to come. Also, Kendrick's The Heart series is also followed soon after by an album release. For example, The Heart Part 5 dropping as a single only days before dropping Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers, but this time he put The Heart Part 6 on the album, which these fans think is a hint for another album coming soon. Regardless of any conspiracies, the album, as an album, is really good. I'm not super knowledgeable on West Coast hip-hop and the community or the signature sound of West Coast hip-hop, but I know that this album is very much a celebration of that culture, with him featuring several up-and-coming West Coast rappers and using West Coast-type beats throughout the album, which I loved. The production was very consistent with this very fluttery and occasionally ethereal sound, with the main draw of many of these beats being the extraordinarily groovy bass line. I love the melty bass groove and twinkly soundscape on Squabble Up, and while that song is pretty good in general, the goofy inflections are kind of pushing my limits for appreciating his wacky style, with him going, "Feel good, get the F out my face." The spacious and calming production on Man at the Garden is a highlight for the album, and the slow build-up and intensity of his performance is really great. The production and arrangement on The Hard Part 6 and Reincarnation are the most well thought out and put together on the album for me. The angelic sparkles and simple riffs, along with that immaculate bass harmony, makes for a really perfect beat, and with him giving his props to all his inspirations and friends in the hip-hop game, this shapes up to be an incredible song. The spiraling piano lines and more subtle bass line on Reincarnation is just so hypnotizing and compelling, and that beat is actually a repurposed Tupac beat, with him borrowing Tupac's flow and style. He does that a few other times, with him homaging Nas on a few other tracks. The entire album is really Kendrick giving homage to those who have came before him and inspired him, and in a philosophical level have reincarnated into him in a way, and he's also giving a platform to those who will come after them. And I think that's pretty beautiful.
Thoughts on who I used to be, I'm shedding skin. Every day a new version of me, a third of me, demented, cementing in pain, juggling the pros and cons of fame. I don't know how to make...
Those were the four songs that I felt were most important to my review, but the whole album was very solid. The opener, Whacked Out Murals, is a great introduction, with him really using his aggression to those who he thinks are disrespecting his name in the rap community, coming off his most aggressive period in his career. Luther is one of two songs featuring SZA. It also features a Luther Vandross sample as another homage. The harmonies with SZA are pretty incredible, and they clearly just have great chemistry. Hey Now is kind of one of the more forgettable songs for me, with the windy beat and with only a small section with some synthy piano lines before going back to the very simple beat. TV Off is an interesting one. The beat is very obviously in the style of Not Like Us, his biggest diss track, and making the beat so intentionally similar to it kind of just reminds me of a better song and makes me want to listen to Not Like Us instead. Although there are some incredible moments with Kendrick shouting, "Mustard! And the chorus, "Turn this TV off, turn this TV off," does really highlight Kendrick's unique performance skill. Dodger Blue has an especially retro 80s sound with the echoey synth and, of course, extremely funky bass lines. Peekaboo is not my favorite, with some especially repetitive moments throughout the song, like the continuous repeating line of saying peekaboo, or the "What they talk about, they talk about nothing. What they talk about nothing." Or the "Hey, hey, hey, hey." It's just not my favorite song. GNX also isn't my favorite song, with the notably unpolished beat. It seems like I'm ragging on this album a little bit, but these are just some small blemishes on a pretty great album. Finally, the closer, Gloria, with SZA singing again, is really beautiful. The entire song is a concept track and love song, with him expressing his love and complicated relationship with the pen or with his writing. It's really neat, and the light, airy beat with, for the millionth time, an amazingly groovy bass line. SZA does a great job with her singing, and so does the Spanish singer who shows up on this song for the third time on the album. I really love her singing, and having three small moments of her singing throughout the album is just another way to make the whole project feel more concise. And her stanzas translate to, "I feel your presence last night," and we start to cry. Really interesting stuff for a really interesting album. So even if this isn't the most heady or super complex or brain-scratching Kendrick project, the consistent sound and profound themes make for another great album. My favorite tracks were The Heart Part 6, Reincarnated, and Man at the Garden, and I'd give GNX an 8 out of 10.
Load up the Pro Tools and press 3. Studio filled with Jack in the Box and Pepsi's. Niggas watching War Star videos.
Speaking of music, I guess, Spotify Wrapped came out yesterday. I've listened to more music every year since I got Spotify. This year I added 26,000 minutes compared to last year's 15,000 or so. Not a super high number compared to some I've seen, but I try to listen to more music each year. For the second year in a row, MF Doom is my highest listened to artist. In the past few years, I've really dived into his whole catalog and consistently put various songs on his impressive body of work on playlists, and one of these days I'll dedicate an episode to his music. My second most listened to artist was Tyler, the Creator, with the bulk of that listening coming from the excitement of Chromacopia, which led me to listening to all of his albums nonstop and putting them in rotation. In third place, I had George Harrison, who is another artist I've really gotten into only this year. So far, I've listened to All Things Must Pass, Living in the Material World, and 33 and a Third, and they've all been stellar. I'm planning on listening to all his albums eventually, and I'm excited to listen to his self-titled album soon. It's pretty neat how my top three artists reflect my top three favorite albums, and in the same order. Those being Mfood, Igor, and All Things Must Pass. My fourth and fifth most listened to were The Beatles and Mad Villain. So essentially my top five is MF Doom, Tyler the Creator, George Harrison, and then a group with George Harrison and a group with MF Doom. My two highest listened to songs were The Wanderer and Leaning Dream, both very listenable and addicting instrumental tracks, the latter song being from the Pizza Tower soundtrack, a great game, by the way. Closing out my songs, I had Sugartown by Nancy Sinatra, Ballad of Worms by Cage, and Beef Rap by MF Doom. Basically encapsulates my taste, which is mostly compiled of 90s and 2000s hip-hop, chill 70s and 60s songs, and instrumental or lo-fi soundtrack music. My top 10 most listened to albums of the year were Mfood, All Things Must Pass, Original Motion Picture Soundtrack by Yehezkel Raz, the album with The Wanderer, my most listened to song, Wade Hare Guzo, an Ethiopian jazz album by Hailu Mergia, Mad Villainy and Take Me to Your Leader, both MF Doom albums, Liquid Swords by Jizza from the Wu-Tang Clan, Donuts by J Dilla, Velocity Design Comfort by Sweet Trip, and the final MF Doom album, Born Like This. Five of those albums are in my top 10 favorite albums. I'll let you guess which ones. Since this episode is mainly a Kendrick Lamar review, I'll mention that Kendrick Lamar showed up as my 21st most listened to artist, right under Gravediggas and right above Method Man. GNX shows up as my 32nd most listened to album this year. That's basically my Spotify Wrapped. Send in yours and I'll review yours. Probably not. I probably won't do that. But I would give my own Spotify Wrapped a 10 out of 10.
That's why he bring his own needles and get more cheese than Doritos, Cheetos, or Fritos.
Speaking of Doritos, there's a new Doritos flavor called Spicy Tropical Fusion. As a longtime fan and enjoyer of the Doritos Sweet Chili Heat flavor, I was quite excited for this new experiment, which is a collaboration with Cantonese, Vietnamese, Hawaiian, and Jamaican chefs. This flavor is described as a bold fusion of heritage flavors featuring red chilies, pineapple flavor, and jerk spices. And it's kind of bad. The strong pineapple mixed with the strong leafy green sort of dirty flavor profile combined to make a bad chip. There's a little over 1,000 calories in the whole bag, and it is not worth it. Go try Sweet Chili Heat instead, or even Cool Ranch's Zesty Cheese. I would give the limited time edition Spicy Tropical Fusion Doritos a 3.5 out of 10. I would not recommend squabbling up these chips.
Squabble up, squabble up, squabble up, squabble up.
Before I let you listeners go, or before you turn this TV off, Here's Ronnie's joke of the week. What would Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers be called if it was made by famous 80s musical duo Salt and Peppa? Mr. Salt and the Big Peppers. Thank you and see you next time on Ronnie's Relentless Reviews. Welcome back to Ronnie's Roomy Reviews. I haven't been in the studio for the past couple weeks because I was sick, but I'm doing better now, and I've been consuming some art. Today I got a simple one movie, one album formula for you, starting with a new thriller movie that came out in April called Drop.
How's this date going?
Drop, rated PG-13, only in theaters April 11th.
The film revolves around a widowed mother recovering from surviving an abusive relationship who has decided to get back out there in the dating world. She's going on her first date in years at a fancy skyscraper restaurant when suddenly, during the dinner, she starts receiving airdrops of strange memes. Strange memes that are becoming increasingly worrying. Memes using her name, memes threatening her, before she eventually gets an anonymous chat invitation from a stranger who starts instructing her to do things or else they'll hurt her son at home. She checks her security cameras and sure enough, there's a masked figure at her home. So she must do whatever this person instructs her to do without telling her date and while trying to figure out who in the restaurant is secretly tormenting her. Pretty neat premise. Did the execution follow through? Yeah, mostly. It's a pretty good movie.
You need help?
Shot of tequila never killed anybody, right?
I'll kill you if you hurt my son.
Drop.
The editing and technical choices were really, really great. Throughout the movie, as she receives these messages, huge neon white representations of these texts boom on the screen, and the in-your-face thriller score matches that intensity. I could definitely see someone thinking the music and over-the-top visual edits were a little too cheesy, but they were very effective for me, and I was consistently stressed out of my mind. Some of the camera and framing choices were really stellar. There's a comic relief waiter character, and even just the way he was framed in the first scene with him at an uncomfortable low angle to complement the distrust she feels for everyone in the restaurant and to complement his bad jokes is just really simple but effective choice making. Not only did it make the scene funnier, but it gave it a small dose of stress in an otherwise average scene that was needed. The camera work for a later fight scene was really sick. The impressive lighting changes really worked for me to enhance the experience. There were several moments where we would zoom out or in, and the lighting would shift to where everything would go dark except for one person. And it was very over the top, but it just worked, and the deep guttural booming score helped as well. So far, everything was going pretty great, and I was enjoying the mystery and the ways in which it was unraveling, until they unfortunately really flubbed the big twist ending. From what I've seen, the relatively small amount of people who actually watched this movie all kind of agreed that the ending really wasn't it. I don't think it completely ruined the whole movie, but they literally packed every possible cliche into the climax. I can't really explain it without revealing a lot, so huge spoiler warning ahead. They had the character says main character's name followed by I didn't tell you my name cliche. They had the main character's voice to poison other characters but doesn't and then poison the villain cliche. They had the secondary character taking a bullet for the main character cliche. They had the you missed but they were actually aiming for something else cliche. They had the character pulled up from a ledge cliche. I hope this portion of the review doesn't sound too much like CinemaSins, but I have good faith arguments on my them. They even had the Jurassic Park kitchen scene archetype where the thug in the main character's house is walking around the corner. Granted, some of these would not be noteworthy on their own, but piled all together, it's pretty obnoxious. It's simply a very lame climax, slapped between a really gripping and intense everything else. So with all that considered, I still enjoyed the movie and would give it a 6 out of 10 overall, just bogged down a bit by the third act drop in quality. Next on the docket is the newest mixtape from Pink Pantheress, a young artist famous from her hits Pain and That Boy's a Liar.
It's 8 o'clock in the morning, now I'm entering my bed. Had a few dreams about the boy's a liar, the boy's a liar, he doesn't see her.
I really love that song Pain, and I've been a bit of a passive fan for a bit, and her newest project, I'm happy to say, was as good as I was hoping. It's an electronic sample-heavy pop record, and it's great. I enjoyed nearly the entire track list. The opener, Illegal, is a banger starting point. The song samples an old 90s dance song, and I like how she flips it to give the sample a whole new feel and texture, even though it isn't very manipulated. The vocals and lyrics impressed me as well. What I thought at first was just a song about sex or some guy turns out to be about the negative effects of weed that Pink Panther Essays experienced, or as she described, a weed diss track. It's really well written and works as a sort of double meaning. Next up is Girls Like Me, and it's the only track that I didn't really love. It samples two Basement Jack songs, a well-respected electronic artist, and she uses them to good effect. It's not a bad song, but I found it was too repetitive and lacking a real memorable verse to break up the long last chorus. It's a bit dull and probably the weakest on the project for me. Tonight is another good track. It's a very sexually charged song that samples Panic at the Disco for like the first 2 seconds. The ad-libs in the song are really satisfying and the emotions of the song are very well communicated. It's a very simple but brain-scratching song. Just catchy and fun. Stars is one of the funner tracks. I like the DJ collage sampled sound to the whole project, and I really love the sample for the chorus on this song especially. This is also another track that has a light dancey vibe with a sort of darker undertone. This song, I think, is really about the drug underbelly in the UK, from what I could tell, and the paranoia and mistrust that comes with dealing with those issues. The story of the song is essentially about seeing someone who has connections to drug dealers, and that side of the relationship spilling into her life. The chorus being a sample from Just Jack's Stars in Their Eyes. To me, it reads as a message to the people who introduced these drug problems in the UK. And there's even a bridge where she's on a phone call with one of her boyfriend's drug dealers. Definitely one of my favorites on the album. Although Noises is a very short little song, it's very dense with the instrumentals. Immediately the song opens with a collage of a guitar riff from a 2000s hip-hop track called Sun Toucher, and a subtle background beatboxing sample from the 80s that plays throughout. Then there's the trap vocal sample on the chorus from Who Wants Smoke by Nardo Wick. It's very goofy, but to me it works very well. The song offers a very simple concept about the fear of being home alone, which seems to tie into the surprisingly prevalent themes in this album of drugs and paranoia. It's a concise and bite-sized song, but I really enjoy it. Nice to Know You is one of the most emotional tracks on the mixtape. That's in no small part thanks to the great production, with the chorus vocal sample already being from a very emotional song, Spiral by William Orbit, and layering that with an incredible string sample from the electronic song It's Too Late by The Streets. That combined with the lyrics touching on themes on losing a friendship make this track hit pretty hard. Stateside is a fun little tune about falling in love with some American fellow. According to Pink, this is her favorite track on the project, and apparently the song marks her giving up on British men, which seems to tie into some themes of animosity towards the UK at this time. I really like this track, and I like the drum sample from a 90s R&B track called Freak Like Me, and the chorus is catchy as hell. Romeo is an incredible closer with another Basement Jack sample from the guitar riff taken from Good Luck. This song features maybe my favorite chorus on the whole project. The emotions are at the highest intensity on this song, at least for me. This track doesn't have the most complex lyrical content, but the intense string instrumental and beautiful vocals make for a very compelling last song. It's basically a Romeo and Juliet fanfic song set in a modern style, and it's a pretty cool concept. Overall, I was surprised at how much I had to say about a 20-minute mixtape, but as I listened and researched, I found a lot of interesting stuff. I really need to go back and listen to more of her stuff because I'm incredibly impressed by the production, largely done by Pink Panthers herself, and the lyrical and instrumental compositions were consistently stellar. It's also just a very easy project to listen to. Despite not listening to this too long ago from when this episode is airing, I've listened to the whole mixtape multiple times at this point. It's a great time. My favorite tracks are Stars, Romeo, and Noises, and I'd give Fancy That an 8 out of 10.
My name's Pink and I'm really glad to meet you. You're recommended to me by some people.
That's all I have for you today. Check out Review Ronnie on Instagram for more info on the show. And before I let you listeners go, it's time for Ronnie's Joke of the Week. What would you call a collab between the artist who made Fancy That and Chapel Roan? Pink Panther Club. See you next time on Ronnie's Romeo Reviews.
Hey, Ronnie. Ronnie?
Good reviews?
Fabulous reviews.
This is Ronnie. Make it good.
Just the old Ronnie could have been a
reviewer.
It's Ronnie, all right.
Ronnie Reviews.
Fabulous reviews.
And this is the best review we got!
Pink Pony, Pink Pony, Pop.
Is the age we live in like a soap opera?
No, but it's so a pop era.
Take a break from generic pop with CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.
With your CKUW Friends card, you are supporting CKUW 95.9 FM and our friends in the community. 100% of your donations go to the general operations at CKUW 95.9 FM. And with your Friends card, your dollars get you more at
the King Cobb Market Pub at 580 Ellis Avenue, your local arts and craft beer pub, with a rotating selection of local beer, art, music, and Southern-inspired pub eats. Your 10% discount on all food and selected taps makes this West End neighborhood pub an ideal place to start, end, or even be your next night out. Be sure to check out their Bella Vista Nights every Wednesday for free live music sponsored by CKUW 95.9 FM, fiercely local.
Join CKUW's community of support by donating $35 during Fun Drive in February to get a Friends card and get access to more deals around Winnipeg.
The Meta World's Tupaluk Show is a two-hour spontaneously generated sound art program exploring media, culture and chants. Every Wednesday 2 to 4 p.m. on CKUW 95.9 FM.
The Wrench is the Winnipeg Repair, Education and Cycling Hub. Since 2010, The Wrench has used discarded bike parts collected from Winnipeg's 4R sites to educate our community in bike mechanics and to keep us all on our bikes through access to bikes and bike repair. Got a bike or some parts that you want to put to good use? Drop them off at any of the City of Winnipeg's 4R sites on Panet, Pacific or Brady Road during their open hours. Wrench volunteers pick up from each location at least monthly and get those bikes back on the road through education programs, community bike repair supports, and bike giveaways. To learn more or become a volunteer, visit us at thewrench.ca.